11, Hebrews chapter 4, commencing to read at verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word this evening. In Hebrews chapter 4, the apostle has been teaching about rest. And as human beings, we enjoy rest. We should always be busy, but we do enjoy rest. It is good to have a time where we can relax, whether that is sitting on the sofa doing very little for a short period of time, or going out and enjoying recreation, a rest from our daily work and activities. We enjoy that, spiritually speaking and physically speaking. We have rest on the Lord's Day, where we rest from our labor and we come together as the Lord's people to meet with him. And not only is there this spiritual rest in regard to the Lord's Day, but there's a spiritual resting in Christ. We who were in sins, we who were wicked in the sight of God, we who had no rest because of our sin, now find rest in the Savior. And there is an eternal rest as well, because that spiritual rest in Christ, what does it lead to? It leads to eternal rest, where we rest in him in heaven for all eternity. And in verse 11, here the writer to the Hebrews urges us to labor to enter into that rest. In verse 14, however, he speaks to us, and on the basis of having a great high priest, and this is part of the subject of the book of Hebrews, the believers, who were Jews originally, maybe before you were a Christian, you were an atheist, or you had some other faith, or perhaps you had a denomination that you associated with, but you were unconverted, and you were saved and redeemed. And these Jews were Jews originally, but they were saved and redeemed. Now they were Christians. Their Jewish background was there, but now they were believers in Christ. And the accusation was made at them by those who were Judaizers, seeking to incorporate the ceremonies of Judaism and Christianity. They accused these believers of having no high priest, because the high priest was a central figure in the Old Testament and central to the worship of Old Testament Israel. And therefore, these believers had no high priest. And the apostle here goes out of his way to explain and to drive home the fact that they have a high priest. Not just a high priest, a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 14, it drives that home. We have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And because of this, and because of this foundation on our great high priest, he says, let us hold fast our profession. And that phrase refers to strength, to retaining. Hold fast. Keep your profession with strength. Retain it. Don't give it away. And tonight I want us to consider very simply what we have here. Let us hold fast our profession. And of course, moving down the passage a little bit as well, there are important truths here. And I want to call this message Building on Our Great High Priest. Building on Our Great High Priest. There are three things that we are to do that are found in this passage. And firstly, we are exhorted to hold fast on the basis of our great high priest. We are exhorted to hold fast because we have a great high priest. And that is a duty for us as believers to not give up, to keep pressing on, not to, as it were, give up our Christian walk and give up our Christian life. The preface here that we see is verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. There is something we should be doing. We're not resting, but we're working toward entering into that rest. Spiritual rest and eternal rest. Matthew Henry said, let us therefore labor. Let us all agree and be unanimous in this. And let us quicken one another and call upon another to this diligence. It is the truest act of friendship when we see our fellow Christians loiter, to call upon them to mind their business and labor at it in earnest. He says, come, sirs, let us all go to work. Why do we sit here still? Why do we loiter? Come, let us labor. Now is our working time. Do not loiter. We're not to be Christians that loiter. There's one of our churches that has a sign as you go in that says, no loitering. And I think maybe there's a spiritual application here, going by what Matthew Henry is saying. But it's referring to those in the area who would come and they would camp at the entrance of the porch. And that is to distract them. I don't think it works most of the time. But it's to distract them, no loitering. And what does that mean? You're not to sit there. You're not to sleep there. You're not to rest there. You know, this is not a place where you can come and relax. Of course, it's the entrance to the church. They're welcome to come inside the church, but not to have their social activities, their rest, their sleep right at the entrance. And as believers, we are not to loiter. We are not to loiter. We're not to stand back and sit back and let others press forward and we sit back. It might be the case that we have pressed forward many, many times throughout our life. And as time has moved on, well, we need to take a step back. That's not loitering. We've done our service. We've done our service. We've served the Lord. We still desire to, but we can't do it to the same energy and the same effort. That's not loitering. But what loitering here is, and what Matthew Henry is getting at, when work can be done, when we are fit and able to do that work, when that work is there in front of us to do, to serve the Lord, and we are able to do it, but we just sit back and do nothing. That is loitering. And the apostle here says, verse 14, let us hold fast our profession. Therefore, we're not to do this. We're not to do this. When we think of verse 12, verse 12 speaks of the word of God. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here is set forth what we need to deal with sin and unbelief in our lives, to deal with loitering in our lives, to deal with others. The word of God is needed. The scriptures are quick, lively, and active in all its effort, in seizing the conscience of the sinner, in cutting him, stabbing him to the heart, in comforting him, in binding up his wounds. It is a living word. Matthew Henry said, saints die and sinners die, but the word of God lives. And this word is to be used by us. And when we come to verse 14, we see then that on the basis of Christ, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. We're to labor. We are to use the sword of the Spirit within our lives and to use it for Christ. And then on the basis of having a Savior, and having a priest, and having one who intercedes for us, this profession is not to be set aside. We're to hold fast to it. We're not to give up. We're not to be ashamed of Christ. Let us hold fast the enlightening doctrines of Christianity. Let us keep those great principles within our hearts, The open profession of it. Let us keep that in our lips. Let us not give up. Let us keep moving forward. We're to stand firm on the doctrine of Christ. And dear believer, we're not to be cold at heart, a loose hold, rather than holding fast, is a ready way for defection from the cause of Christ. David Dixon, one of the Scottish Puritans, said that our adversaries seek to pull the truth from us. They seek to pull the truth from us. But let us not do that. Let us not do that. At the church picnic, there's our brother, myself, I think Gene was there. We were on the tug of war and we were pulling and we were determined not to let the other team pull that rope from us. And we did win. We succeeded. But we can think of that as a spiritual application. There are those who are seeking to pull the truth from us and we're not going to let go. It's maybe going to hurt. And I had some sort of a burn on my hands. I was doing too much tug of war. It's going to hurt. It's painful. It's strenuous. But let us not give up like the other side did. But we won't say much about them. Let us not give up. Let us keep holding fast. Let us look to the Lord for help because we can't hold fast ourselves. We need his help. We need his help. And that brings us to consider then what is being said here. A great high priest. The high priest, that significant part and that central aspect of Old Testament Christianity. The high priest was, as it were, the mediator. He came between God and the people. The great high priest came and performed the various functions of the tabernacle and then the temple and interceded on behalf of the people of God. And Christ is the great anti-type, the one who fulfills the type. The high priest was the type of Christ. He was not Christ. He was the type. And Christ was what we call the anti-type, the one who came and fulfilled what the high priest pointed toward. He was our Savior. He was our sacrifice. He is the one who intercedes. He's not merely a high priest here. He is a great high priest. A great high priest. And his greatness is set forth by his name that reminds us of his salvation, Jesus. He is the healer, the Savior, the divine Son of God by eternal generation. Oh, when we are built and founded upon him, do we not desire to hold fast to him, hold fast to our faith? Secondly, I want you to see that we are exhorted to pray, knowing that we have a great high priest. We are exhorted to pray, knowing that we have a great high priest. Verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Moving back to verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And so in the temptation of Christ, he was sinless. He did not sin. He could not sin. "But we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." In English, we have here what is called a double negative. A double negative. If you were to say to me, "My car has been stolen from the parking lot, what do you know about it?" And I say, "I don't know nothing." Well, that means I know something. It's a double negative. The negative, the second negative cancels out the first. And what we have here is the writer to the Hebrews doing that. "For we have not," negative, "an high priest, which cannot," negative, "be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." And these negatives cancel each other out. And what is being said is we have an high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The writer here is not being clumsy with his language, but he's emphasizing something by use of this grammatical means. He's emphasizing we have an high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He sees us. He knows us. He has compassion upon us. He is a gracious high priest. He is merciful. He is compassionate. He is sympathizing with his people. Commentator said, "Though he is great and so far above us, yet he is very kind and tenderly concerned for us." Well, he sees us. And we come on the basis of that to pray because we have one who cares. And dear believer, the apostle said that we are to be followers of him even as he is also a follower of Christ. We're to follow Christ. We're to be an imitator of Christ. When we think of the priestly role of the Savior here, who was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who has that compassion upon us, who has that tender heart for us, how are we as the Lord's people to look at that as imitators of Christ? We're to have compassion. We're to have a tender heart. We're to be patient and kind and caring and loving and all of those things, because the Savior is such. The Savior is such. And so, as we think of that, to the Lord's people, we are to be tender-hearted. We are to love one another. We are to show that Christ-like care to each other. We're not to be hard-hearted and hear about each other's infirmities and not care. And think, well, what does that mean to me? I have my health. I can run and I can play and I can do whatever else, as long as I'm okay. But yet, as the Lord's people, we're to look at others and we're to be touched with the feeling of their infirmities. That's why we come to the place of prayer, to pray for those who do have infirmities and who do have cares. Let us not be cold-hearted, but let us be touched with the heart of Christ, that we would be touched with the feeling of the infirmities of others. Christ knows our infirmities. That Christ knows our trials and our difficulties. And let us therefore then pray on the basis that we have an high priest who cares for us. And one of the important things here we see is verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Here the writer to the Hebrews is saying, come and pray. Come and seek the Lord. And that is a duty. That is something we must do as the Lord's people, because we are founded upon Christ, our great high priest, who is our intercessor, who is our mediator, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. And we're told, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And that word bold means confidence. We can come with confidence. Why? Because of our great high priest. Because of who he is. Because he gave himself for us. Because he's Jesus, the Son of God. Because he cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Dear believer, do you pray with confidence? Do you pray with boldness? Well, it's so easy for us to be worried and concerned about praying. What do others think? I can only string together a little sentence or a couple of sentences. I remember as a teenager being in a position where I wanted to pray and felt I should pray, but what should I pray? And I didn't know what I should pray, but how do I word what I want to pray? And I remember most prayer meetings trying to think of how I could word what I wanted to say. I was nervous and wondering, what will others think? I know of one of our ministers who, in a youth meeting one night, spoke about a man who attended a particular church, a young man, and how he was so nervous, and he listened to his elders pray and he wondered, how could I ever pray? How could I seek the face of God? How could I pray like these men? And he was just a young lad at the time. But now he's a senior minister. If I said his name, you would know who I mean. But yet, that is something that, as a young person, encouraged me. We're learning. We're learning how to pray. We shouldn't look at each other and think, well, they didn't have much boldness tonight. Because in that person's heart, they could have so much confidence there and boldness as they seek the Lord. But they may only pray for a short time. And pray very simply. We don't need to pray big prayers. We don't need to pray complex prayers. We don't need to pray for 40 minutes or an hour. We can pray simple prayers. And we can come together as the Lord's people on the basis of our great high priest. Let us not be concerned about how we pray. Let us encourage one another to pray. And let us come with boldness and confidence, knowing we pray to Christ. We don't pray to men. Let us pray to Christ. But let us, as the people of God, be encouraged as each one of us seeks the Lord in prayer. And thirdly, and finally, I want you to see that we are encouraged by the help that we receive from our great high priest. We are encouraged by the help that we receive from our great high priest. You see, in verse 16, we see that this work of prayer, it's not a waste of time. It's not in vain. It's not pointless. Our business at the throne of grace should be that we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And there are many things we can pray for. But we often pray for mercy. We often pray for grace. Mercy to pardon our sins. Grace to purify our souls, as the commentator said. Mercy and grace. And in our time of need, do we not need the Lord's mercy? Do we not need the Lord's grace, that sufficient grace to help us? Beloved brother and sister, we pray for a purpose. We pray on the basis of our great high priest, and we pray for a purpose. Let's be united in our purpose. We can go back to Acts chapter 1, and there it says about the apostles and those who were there, the women as well, and others in the upper room, and they prayed together in one accord. They prayed in unity. You didn't have one person standing up and saying, we pray for a particular thing. We pray for this soul to be saved. And then someone else stood up and said, no, we don't want that person to be saved. There was unity. Very simple and strange example, but there was unity between them. They were united because of their great high priest. They were united because of the purpose they had to reach out into the world with the gospel. They came together and there was this great bond between them. And as they prayed, they knew the help of God. They came together. They knew what they needed. They needed mercy. They needed grace. Acts 4, we've mentioned it before, they came to pray. And how did they pray? They prayed for confidence and for boldness to continue doing what they were doing. And let us pray, dear believer, for mercy and grace to help in time of need. We all have a time of need. The Church of Christ has a time of need. This world has a time of need. We have times of need. Let us pray one for another. Let us pray boldly, knowing and believing that the Lord will hear and answer our cries according to his will. Let us rejoice in our great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us build upon our great high priest. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake tonight. Amen.